Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. The president is
back. Ever let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter?
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprit.net News. This is your weekly news wrap-up show where you can get 1 week's worth of information in just one setting. Now, on this program, New York City plans to divest $5 billion from fossil fuels to sue oil companies. Infant mortality rates in the U.S. have continued to decline since the 2005 peak. Natural disasters cost America a record $306 billion last year, with 16 costing more than $1 billion each. And nearly two-thirds of the U.S. voters say Trump should scrap the border wall, and 79% want citizenship option for Dreamers. We have that this week in court and much more. And I want to thank you for tuning in and remind you, you're listening to Esprit.net News. We're here every Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our dialing number is 909-265-9189. If you want to catch us in the archives, by the way, it is espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com. Now, the SEC launched an investigation into Jared Kushner's real estate company for its use of the government's visa program that grants green cards to wealthy foreign investors. So Kushner Companies was asked by the SEC for information on its use for the visa program known as the EB-5 in May of 2017. The firm has previously apologized for using Kushner's name to promote foreign business. The big story is Donald Trump could act vindictively and, kind of get rid of some of the trade deals with the UK if he's not invited to the upcoming wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, is what author Michael Wolff claims in his book Fire and Fury. It is the blistering biography of his first year of office, and says that half of the British fears that Trump's royal wedding snub will actually, have him have backlash to the British. Now, in a related story, you know what? I'm not going to do any more Trump stories right now because there's other stories that we can do, but there's a lot on that dotard, I guess, if I can use the words of someone else. So we'll talk about that later. Now, in other news, snow-covered parts of the Sahara Desert for the third time in 40 years as freak storms see 16 inches fall in one day. This is the third time in 37 years that the town in Algiers has seen snow cover its red sand dunes of the Sahara Desert, which is up to 16 inches that fell in some areas. So just wanted to start with the global warming stuff. NASA researchers at the University of California in San Diego found that El Nino and La Nina events caused Arctic ice shelves to melt while increasing snowfall. So the Arctic shelf is melting up to 10 inches a year. This is according to a 23-year study. And the ozone layer is healing. That hole over Antarctica is closing thanks to the worldwide ban on damaging chemicals. NASA confirms the hole in the ozone layer that appeared above Antarctica in the 80s has shrunk thanks to this ban on chemicals called CFCs, is what NASA Aurora satellite has found. So there we have it. I think there's kind of some good news in the global warming side of this. Now, New York City is seeking to lead the assault on climate change and the Trump administration with a plan to divest $5 billion from fossil fuels and sue the world's most powerful oil companies over their contributions to dangerous global warming. City officials have set a goal of divesting in New York's $189 billion pension funds from fossil fuel companies within 5 years, and what they say would be amongst the significant divestment efforts in the world to date. So currently, New York City's five pension funds have about $5 billion in fossil fuels investments, and New York State has already announced that it's exploring how to divest from fossil fuels. So we're going to help the ozone layer close in a little bit. All right, I want to remind you, you listen to Esprit Net News on Esprit Radio. You can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. The chat room is now open. So if you want to come in and comment in the chat room, or if you're on the line and you want to hit 1 and come in, feel free to join the program anytime. Now, if you want to write us, you can always write us at news@soulofsyracuse.com, and we'll see if we can get back to you over there. Now, Republican Speaker of Kentucky's House of Representatives resigned from his leadership position on Monday, more than 2 months after acknowledging he secretly settled a sexual harassment claim and paid to keep it quiet as controversy continued to hound him. Jeff Hoover said he was resigning as Speaker because he didn't want the distraction for the House, but he said he would not resign his seat in the legislature. He just won't be Speaker anymore. So Hoover's resignation was made on a condition if accepted by the members of the House. Speaker Pro Tem David Osborne quickly ruled the resignation had been accepted and ordered it into the House Journal. He said a vote would only be required if the House member objected, and none did. If a House member, just anyone, and nobody objected. So he's gone. Time magazine's cover by Edel Rodriguez shows Trump's hair going up in flame. And to sum up his first year in office, so the flame in Trump's hair is a reference to the Michael Wolff book that I referred to earlier. Now, I am not going to go through all of the stories related to, I know that happened last week, but I can tell you that if you want to call in and join us or you want to bring them up, of course I'll talk about them. But, you know, we do have a lot of news, so I'm not going to do it. But, well, maybe I'll give you one. Megyn Kelly refused host author Michael Wolff on her show doing his promotion of this best-selling book that's been selling out all over the place. The Today Show anchor is reportedly still annoyed about the article he wrote about her last year. Wolff was okay with doing her show, but Megyn said absolutely not. And Wolff wrote for Newsweek last year a piece titled Truth Behind Megyn Kelly's NBC Deal. At the time, he said there is, at any given time in the television news business, invariably one person more mistrusted and reviled by all other mistrusted and reviled people in the business This is what we call it, Eva Harrington syndrome. It's after the amoral, unscrupulous showbiz heroine in that film, All About Eve, the 1950 film, All About Eve. Now, Megyn Kelly is the era's most hardcore Eva Harrington case, soulless, heartless, shameless. Wolf did give today's show an exclusive with Savannah Guthrie, but she did not want to talk to her. I guess after he called her heartless, soulless, shameless, etc., I guess she had an attitude problem with him after that. So Michael Wolff Buck, not only while it was talking about Trump, it was kind of, I guess, looking at the whole year of his presidency. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, if you want to talk about it, there's a bunch of stories that I probably won't cover. But, you know, we'll see what we can do. All right. Now, this Trump has scrapped plans to visit Britain next month because he was expected to make his first trip to the UK since entering office. But government officials have been told that he has gone cold on the idea. No new date has been offered, but he didn't want to go because he felt that he would not feel wanted while he was there. So one senior source suggested that Trump canceled because he was unhappy about the arrangements and the scale of the visit. But he was actually scared about the protests and the unflattering things that they probably were going to be saying about him. So there you have it. He decided not to go to Britain. I wish we could have discouraged them from running, but that's a whole nother story. All right, now, Trump asked members of Congress today, in vulgar terms, why the U.S. had to shoulder such a burden. Why do we have to have all these people from S-hole countries come here? Now, I know I can curse on this program, but I'm not going to. So Trump said, according to two people who were briefed on the meeting and then leaked the comments to the Washington Post, Trump was reportedly speaking about Haitians, El Salvadorians, and citizens from various African nations. The outburst came as a bipartisan group of senators sought backing a deal which would have ended the looming crisis over Trump's move to end DACA. DACA is the immigration legislation to allow residents who were here under visas and or who were born here to stay in the country. So DACA, Trump wanted to end DACA. So among the elements of the deal were ending the visa lottery scheme, and return for resuming protected status for immigrants from Haiti, El Salvador, and African countries. And in his frustration is what they're saying, he said, why are we having all these S-hole countries here? He said we should have more people from places, I'm paraphrasing, like Sweden and like Norway is the country that he used. So I think what he was saying is, why don't we have some more lighter people come into the country opposed to the darker-skinned people? That was Trump's issue, not mine. All right. Now, the new ambassador, U.S. ambassador to the Netherlands, Netherlands is in trouble over fake news. It's called a fake news scandal. He clashed on Wednesday with Dutch reporters who told him, this is the Netherlands. You have to answer your question. On his first day, on the official day on the job, Peter Hoekstra was taken to task over controversial statements he made in 2015 in which he said that the Islamic movement was creating chaos in Europe and suggested that extremists were burning politicians and cars in the Netherlands. So in a statement last year, he said, I made certain remarks in 2015, and I regret the exchange doing an interview. Please accept my apology. But on Wednesday, he said he didn't want to revisit the issue, but that didn't stop the Dutch reporters from pressing him unsuccessfully for a clarification. So that's when they said, you're not in the U.S., this is the Netherlands, you have to answer our questions. And he also, you know, while he was not answering questions, he, I'm trying to think of how to phrase it, but anyway, he had some other kind of slick remarks, but one other reporter asked them to name someone, name a politician who was burnt, you know, since they were burning cars and politicians. So they kept asking him questions. He didn't answer, but good for the people in the Netherlands. Stay on them, because this country act like they can't follow up with questions. If they don't want to answer the questions, don't ask them any more questions. Ask them questions till they answer. So good on the Netherlands, those Dutch reporters for telling them you're not in the U.S. anymore. Now, white Kansas State Representative Steve Alford says that black people abuse drugs because of their genetics and character makeup. Now, the Kansas State Republican or representative said that on Saturday that black folks responded worse to drugs because of their character makeup, their genetics, and that was the excuse. Now, he didn't take back any of these comments, but apparently Trump's people have risen out of the closet and really are making themselves known. So there you go for that. Now, a former investigation has been launched into Missouri's Governor Eric Gilchrist after his former mistress claimed that he attempted to blackmail her with an explicit photo at the start of their affair. So the St. Louis Circuit Court attorney, Kimberly Gardner, confirmed in that the probe in a statement, she confirmed the probe in a statement on Thursday after the serious and troubling allegations were made public through an audio tape released by the unnamed woman's ex-husband this week. It is essential for residents of the city of St. Louis and our state to have confidence from leaders. They must know that the office of the circuit attorney will hold public office accountable at the same manner that it would any other resident of our city, is what Garner said in a statement. So he's not denying it, but he's not denying having the mistress. He's denying that he tried to blackmail her. And, of course, again, his wife is standing by him. Just wanted to say that for record. All right, now, the ex-wife of a lawmaker who killed themselves claims that he molested two girls, including a relative, more than a decade before shooting himself in the head. So Danelle Hickson, who was married to former Idaho Republican lawmaker Brandon Hickson, alleged that he was being investigated for molestation of two girls when he committed suicide on January 9th. So we know this is a couple of days ago, but technically his wife came out and said that, yeah, and a relative. So it's interesting that he's probably not even buried yet, but his wife did come out and say, yes, he's also have other allegations. Oprah Winfrey is less popular than other Democrats than Joe Biden, according to a new news story. It says Oprah is less popular amongst Democrats than Joe Biden. That's according to a new poll taken ahead of the elections, the 2020 elections have revealed. And the TV stars whose speech on the Golden Globes led to the speculation that she would run for president. Now, the speculation would have been that she would have been beaten by both Biden and Bernie Sanders in a four-way Democratic race that also included Elizabeth Warren. This is the research by RABA Research in their survey. Now, the poll had 345 registered Democrats about the 2020 election. The former vice president was better liked than any of the prominent potential competitors, and the RABA reviewed the Democratic voters between January 10th and the 11th via online survey. The margin of error was 5 points, and some 76% of Democratic voters had somewhat of a favorable or very favorable opinion of former Vice President Biden. In contrast, only 67%, I shouldn't say 67 because it's a lot, of the Democratic voters felt the same about Oprah, leaving her even with Bernie Sanders and ahead of Elizabeth Warren, who was only at 58. Now, Democratic voters had a favorable or somewhat favorable opinion of her as well. Now, when they actually did a poll on the race, they pretty much said that I guess it was Joe Biden, former President Joe Biden. I guess I should kind of respect his name here. Former President Joe Biden. And then there was Bernie Sanders, Oprah, and then Elizabeth Warren. So that was the order that everybody came in. So just so that you know, it seemed kind of interesting, but it was an interesting kind of poll, but Joe Biden came out on top again. So on that note, let me go to Commissioner Kathleen, who I was just trying to get on the line while I was talking, if you kind of noticed. Kathleen hesitated over my story, but I was trying to get you. Saw that you called. How you doing, Commission?
Oh, hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I didn't see if I missed you on the board and you had your hand up or something that I missed you. So I was giving you a call if you heard your phone ring. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm doing good. I got a little laryngitis, but don't worry about it. I'm good.
Okay.
How are you?
Make
Happy
it work.
New Year. I don't think I've spoken
Happy
to you
new
in the
year.
New Year, have I?
No, you haven't.
I think we missed the show.
Yes, we missed the show from last week. But then I said, okay, I think I need to catch up to you anyway. But I missed out on that one. But I still have to catch you, so we'll have to do that. I wish we had Ronnie on. I should call Ronnie on the three-way and see what she think about that whole Oprah. After the Golden Globes and everyone's going, Oprah's going to run and she could be president. Should have called her on that.
I'm sure
you'll do a whole show on Oprah.
Everybody was talking about that and they're like, leave Oprah alone. She's not trying to run. And then Gail wants to kind of make it seem a little bit like she's not going to, but she might want to, but she's very intrigued by it. And she's, you know, like, oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah, everybody's
intrigued.
Yeah, you know, here,
they were intrigued by Michelle, too. They're intrigued until she actually
exactly.
does it, and then they want to eat it for lunch.
Here's something that irritates me about Democrats, like seriously irritates me by Democrats, is that what happened when somebody loses a race, they try to mock what Republicans do, and Republicans suck. So as bad as Donald Trump is, they're like, let's get an entertainer on our side. And it's like, we're not saying Oprah is anywhere comparatively like as bad as Donald Trump, but I'm saying we have some good people who could probably govern. You know, Joe Biden is really well qualified. I mean, there's a lot of politicians who are well qualified. But why do we have to pick out a pool of entertainers because their side sucks? It's interesting, but you know what I mean? It's almost like every time something happens to the black folks, you know, if it happened to Jewish folks, they go to the Anti-Defamation League or any number of Jewish organizations. Something happened to black folks, they go to like Lil Wayne or I don't mean the black. Sorry, that's a black on black guy. They go to black folks who are entertainers who are, I can't say that they're thinkers or not, but you ask entertainers opposed to somebody who may have some kind of opinion on this stuff or who studies social science or something. They just go, oh, Yeah. Let's get that guy. You heard what Oprah said, you know. Oprah's not the brightest amongst all black people. She's just rich. Like that. Didn't they learn their lesson with Trump? Well, apparently not. Sorry for that. So, anyway, she didn't poll better than Joe Biden. People still have a preference of Joe Biden and then Bernie Sanders and then Oprah and then Warren. So, what does that tell you?
Right, but Joe Biden doesn't want to run.
No. They just did a generic poll. They just did a generic poll because when they start throwing out names like that, they start polling them. But Joe Biden will run. I think Joe Biden.
He will.
You know,
again. You said that last time, Rome. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he really regrets not running. And what happened? Don't we all? Yes, you're right about that. But I think what happens is that he felt the pressure of the whole break the glass ceiling and give a woman a chance, and he felt some kind of way about that. And so I think he felt the pressure of the party to let Hillary, you know, it's her turn stuff, get the best of him opposed to thinking what's best and who can win. He went through that. So, you know, that whole fake Hillary was helping out President Obama stuff. And then I think the party just coalesced behind her, and he just didn't want to disrupt it. I think the excuse was that, you know, of course he has some things going on in his life, but at the same time, Hillary was really nasty to President Obama, and I think she would have been nasty to Vice President Biden. And I think he just weighed it, and he elected not to do it. But I think if it was Bernie Sanders or somebody else, Joe Biden would have ran. I think it was just because it was her, and he didn't want to go through a contentious primary. But, so I think that added into his
I'm going to say something that I don't think most people are going to like. If you're a Biden Obama fan, you are not going to like this. So just turn the radio down for a few minutes, go to the bathroom, get yourself a soda or something.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah. That's you too, Rome, because you're not going to like this either.
Go ahead.
Uh-huh. I'm just saying that if that was the reason that Biden didn't run, then mm-hmm. we didn't need him to run. If he's saying, oh, it's the girl's turn, it's the lady's turn now, so I'll just go sit back and this is the United States of America, right? And if you see your party going, because, you know, it wasn't like everybody in the world was for Hillary. She was not winning over the party. I genuinely believe that Biden and the Biden Obama ticket was a powerful ticket. I know everybody's criticizing President Obama now or whatever, but I think that was a powerful ticket. I think those two gentlemen were genuinely governing together. I think they respected one another, and I do believe that President Biden would have followed and continued a lot of the plans of the Obama administration and the want of the Democratic Party, right? That was not a Hillary. So I don't understand why even an Obama or a Biden would sit back and say, okay, it's a lady's turn. That in itself is insulting, you know? Let me just say this sentence.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. I know this is your show, but I just need to say this.
As if
to say that it is but for a man stepping aside, a woman can't win. That in itself is paternalistic and insulting. And so if she is not winning, not for nothing, that because so many Black Americans, Haitian Americans, and so many other people simply did not like her. Not because she wasn't a woman. I'm not saying that didn't play some role, but not because she wasn't a woman. They didn't like her
right.
because they didn't like her and her husband and their theories and the what we knew about the Clintons, what we lived through with the Clintons. So I really have a problem with either President Obama, if he ascribed to that, or Joe Biden, if he ascribed to that, to say, oh, let me give the girls a chance. No, we want a qualified woman or a qualified man in the White House. And now look at the what we ended up with.
The crackpot.
Yes, everybody's saying, oh my God, Hillary Clinton would have been better. Anybody would have. I would have been better in the White House than Donald Trump. You know, for God's sake. But what we're what we're saying is we really did not prepare the Democratic Party to position someone who was winnable to go into the White House. And they knew it
right.
from the start. They knew it when they beat her in 2008, not because we they want to say that, oh, it was because he was so charismatic and everything else, and that's why he beat everybody up. No, because he was a better candidate. He was a better
right.
candidate, you know, and for us to say that, you know, she should have won, she could have, the people didn't like her, they don't like her now, and that's just it.
Right. Okay, so I need to modify my statement with you because I agree with your point. If that was the reason Joe Biden shouldn't run, it wasn't Joe Biden saying that it was her turn to run. It was the fact that he's coming out of the administration. So he didn't start the 2 years in advance. He didn't need to get the donors and those guys lined up. He really didn't need to. But by the time he was putting out feelers and his son died and all of that, the party, and I mean the donor class of Democrats, was saying that to him. And then when you go on the news and you look at people like, Ed Rendell and Karen Finney, who was on TV a lot, Hillary Rosen, and you look at the guys, Anna Navarro on CNN, and you look at those were all, Anna Navarro wasn't. But, she's a Republican, but she was on the bandwagon. It is her turn. They need to sit back and just like, which is my favorite story. Now, Ed Rendell said last week that Joe Biden was too old. Like, he said that we need to step out. When they asked him about Joe Biden, he said that we need to step out of the way and let some younger people get into the pool. And they asked Joe Biden about this last week, and Joe Biden said this: I can take Ed Rendell. And I said, I'm voting for Joe Biden. Like, he's like, I guess I'm in good enough shape to whoop your butt, is what he essentially said. Because those were the guys who were calling Joe Biden to step aside when Hillary was running. I think Joe Biden's over that. I think he's over playing, hey, let's all work together, and who all should we endorse? Because all of those guys coalesced on Clinton's side, not because she was a woman, it's because she was a Clinton. So I think that they landlocked him on the Democratic Party side. I don't think they kept saying it's her turn. It wasn't Joe Biden that said let her go because she's a woman. It was because the Clintons had it on lock on the party side, and they pretty much locked up the platform. And that's why early on they didn't have any of the Obama people there. She had her whole crew. And so by the time it got towards the end of that race against Trump, they were saying, we need to get the Obama coalition out. Because you ignored them and you played feminism on everybody else and their mother. And then now you're saying, we need the black folks to buy into the feminism. And now you ran your disclaimer, I'm going to run mine. I know that this is going to piss some people off, and maybe even Kathleen, even the commish. But, I don't really agree that black women should actually be into the whole, even though black women started the Me Too movement. I think we have, history tells us, whether it was Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony, pretty much shunning Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman during the women's suffrage time, or Gloria Steinem talked about this during the late 70s, during the women's rights stuff during the late 70s, or during the 70s and 60s, that it was the women out of the Black Panthers and all these black women who helped that struggle in the movement, because white women wouldn't join the movement, but when they joined it, they kicked black women out. I think black women need to learn their lesson, because every time we step out, they keep saying it's about women and not about color. And black women are going to be the bottom of the totem pole again, like history tells us, that every time we dissect black folks never end up rising up. So at some point, when they start this whole, you know, Elizabeth Warren or what's her name, Kristen Gillibrand and all that nonsense, I am not voting for any of them. And I'm going to tell you why. My main stance against that is that we still have this thing about whitening of America. It is why Roy Moore, you know, who got 70% of white folks vote, still, even though he's racist and homophobic and all of those things, alleged, even though that happened, they still backed him. And they still can't shake the diversity, but they want us as diversity to help white females. So, you know, Meryl Streep and all of those guys, they don't come out, Black Lives Matter. Oprah barely said something during Black Lives Matter, barely. But then when they say, oh, women power, Oprah's up there yelling on Golden Gold Slaves. So I don't have a lot of empathy in that area. Although I support the cause, you cannot sell me on the fact that just because someone is fighting that fight, and I support that fight, but that is not a motivation for me to vote or support somebody. I mean, I understand Harvey Weinstein and all that stuff. I even understand the Bill Cosby stuff. I understand all of that. But I'm telling you, it does not play well across the board, because we've been suckered all these years every time we have women's right movement and black women get kicked out of it. But then they start fighting the same fight for everybody else. Okay. Sorry. I didn't go through my commentary segment of the show, but I just thought I had that in there while I was talking about Hillary Clinton again. And then, see, we're doing like the Trump, trying to get sidetracked. Now, speaking of former President Barack Obama, you know, he shared his dad dance tips and recalled the time that he showed off his awkward moves on stage with Prince a few months before our, who I like to call the soul of he is the soundtrack of our lives. So when I talk about Prince, he's always the soul Prince to me. So this was just before he passed away. The former president, who has always considered himself a typical father, he jokingly talked with David Letterman doing a clip of his new show. My next guest needs no introduction with David Letterman. It's on Netflix, and the first show is tomorrow. He said that this was probably 3 or 4 months before Prince passed, and Prince asked Sasha to come up and dance, is what President Obama said. And then Sasha Obama continues to go up on stage and then pulled him to join in, which surprised them. Because he said she always mocks my dancing. And he said, you got to stay in pocket, because I think everybody here knows dads who get out of pocket and they're trying stuff that they can't really pull off. So President Obama said he needed to stay in pocket. That was his in pocket joke, I guess.
That's funny.
So,
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, so if you get a chance to see it, David Letterman, Netflix, my next guest needs no introduction. We'll see how that goes. But it's more of a laid-back, it's kind of like he does his show, but it's really a laid-back version of his late-night show. And he does have, like, the full Santa Claus beard, by the way. What'd you say?
I heard about it. I heard that the president did his first show.
First guest.
So I'm looking forward to see. It was his first guest, yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
You said it's on
now,
Netflix, right? The whole
Netflix tomorrow. Say it again.
Okay.
Yeah,
the whole
Netflix tomorrow.
He's doing the entire show on Netflix? Letterman?
Yeah, David Letterman. Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah, okay.
I think cool. What we're missing in this society is how we look at, like, how we look at our age. You know, we've been always a society, like, that's kind of rigid about age. But it's like I was just having this conversation with hip-hop or rap, is that even the rap now that's out is a different genre of rap than what exists when we were younger. But the rap that existed when we were younger, hip-hop, it still is valid. So it's not like those kids are trying to mock what was done in the past. They can't even duplicate it if they wanted it to. So it has value because, you know, as we get older, there's a market for it. So David Letterman is about to find out on Netflix that there is a market for David Letterman's dry humor, because I'm going to watch it. I like David Letterman. So, you know, opposed to throwing, you know, Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel on thinking that that was going to be entertaining. It might be millennial entertaining, but there's a lot of people out there that and remember when people were criticizing Arsenio Hall? They were like, he's trying to do his old show from the 90s. I'm like, it worked in the 90s and it worked now. I don't know why he was canceled,
yeah,
but his ratings was high and his show worked. You know, when you still go back and watch Martin, that means the jokes still work. So you can't say, oh, yes, you can't say, oh, that's not funny anymore. It is still funny.
You know what else is still funny? Which I still watch when I get a chance is In the House with LL Cool J.
Oh yeah. Yeah, actually
I still watch that.
Actually like that show. Mhm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With Alfonso, I can't remember his name.
Alfonso Ribeiro, and that was after he did Fresh Prince, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In the
and,
House of After Fresh Prince.
What's my sister's name?
Debbie Allen.
Debbie Allen, thank you.
Yeah.
Diane Carroll.
Oh, she's an icon. I love Debbie Allen, so yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, much
very
respect to
funny.
Her. Mm-hmm.
And she's
very
funny.
Yeah.
So shows, however, she's not on it. It was just the daughter, who also was a good actress, and I wonder what happened to her.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where she is. But yeah, Debbie Allen, you know, who directed Different World. She's still directing, by the way. So she started directing since Fame and, you know, coming up through all of those shows. But Debbie Allen is still directing, and they're attempting to shoot a reboot of A Different World, which should be interesting. So it'll be all of the older characters are probably going to have kids who are in college, because it's about that long since then. By the way, have you ever seen the show Grown-ish yet? Do you know what I'm talking about? Uh-oh, I think you put me on mute.
Sorry, I was
Kathleen.
On mute. I thought it just started. Yeah, I thought it just started this week.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit butch for me, but I guess it's like millennial based. You know, her about taking some kind of drugs to keep her awake to do her papers, kind of stuff, and it's a bit much. It does not. It doesn't start off like a different world would be, because she's not in a different world. It's not a black college kind of things and those dynamics. It is really about, I guess, the trials and tribulations of millennials. You know what's funny? They act as if there was not like drinking and stuff when in any other generation but this one. Like the problems that they have to worry about are unique to them as a generation. It's hilarious. But anyway, they go at that stuff a little hard, but it's on the network Freeform, so that must be a millennial. They must just be like the new MTV to us, you know. So we'll see how that goes. All right. You know, in other news, I didn't run past this, but Walmart quietly closes 63 of its Sam's Clubs after laying off an estimated it's laying off an estimated 11,000 workers just hours after they said that they would be raising the minimum wage to $11 an hour and giving out bonuses because of Trump's tax reforms. So just hours after Walmart announced that it would be raising the minimum wage, they said, oh, yeah, and by the way, we're closing 63 stores, Sam's Clubs. Now, AT&T did the same thing.
Which one?
Yeah. AT&T did the same thing.
Ooh.
They say, hey, we're going to get bonuses at the end of the year, and then they laid off about 600 people. I think that's what that was their bonuses.
Oh, my God.
They're offsetting the bonuses, but they're keeping that tax money.
Wow.
So, again, you know.
Well, how about I didn't know Walmart owned Sam's Club? I didn't even know that.
Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah, Sam Walmart is the guy's name. Who started Walmart.
I didn't know.
Yeah, same. So they said that their employees can apply to work at the other Walmarts or another Sam's Club if that's not one of the ones that they're closing. But they just came in today and just had signs on the door that they won't be open. I was like, no, they are cruel. Like it wasn't even, they didn't even tell anybody. They just, okay. One day they was open, one day they closed. So I know the Walmart close to me is, according to the news, is that they are going to stay open until the 26th of this month. So I'm thinking, okay, you got 15 days to get rid of all your merchandise? That's what you're going to do? Okay, fine. So they are really they are really just going at it. Interesting enough. Well, 2 weeks is probably what they were looking at, just the wind down. But they're getting rid of Sam's Club. There's been a rapid third. What were you going to say?
Oh, no, I just said I don't even know what to say about that. It sounds pretty tacky the way it was done. But, you know, Walmart has never been one to be the most, full of the most integrity as where it comes to workers and so forth. So they're trying to do some stuff. So I just hope it continues to come around. I'm glad at least for the people that are working there, they're getting that at least a little bump in their salary. And then minimum wage going up by $1.
Well, I like to remind people that, when Reagan was in office, it was about the unemployment rate was 4.8. The second year, it went up to 10. We're about to watch unemployment go up. So when they say, oh, big tax cuts spurred job growth, they've already been talking about raising interest rates. China already said that it's going to slow down on buying U.S. bonds and treasuries, right? And so when that happens, they have to offer more money for the bonds and treasuries. So they're going to artificially inflate the rate of interest that they're going to have to pay for anybody who's buying treasuries or bonds. So you get more money in interest, but that costs us money. So the deficit numbers are going to go up. So we're watching this slowly jump off, but the Republicans have not even passed their budget yet. We're still floating off of Obama's budget. So the second year, again, Reagan's unemployment went up to 10%. And we're about to watch what's going to happen when the Republicans' budget kicks in along with this tax bill, this tax plan. I'm horrified by it and sad to say that that's happening, but we don't learn our lessons from history. I mean, we just don't. And so the news is covering it like, hey, let's just see how this thing is going to turn out. They already know how it's going to turn out. We've seen this movie. But
no,
we've seen it.
Last?
That long? He what? I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry. Is Trump going to last that long?
Well, I don't trust Pence, but at the same time, the laws that the Republicans are passing and the budget stuff that they're going to try to do before, The budget, the federal budget, is due September 30th. So they have not even passed the budget, and they keep pushing it off until the extension expires on January 21st. And then they have a debt ceiling issue. But if we can't go too much into what are we going to go to March and April to pass the budget for last year and then pass a new one in September again, like they put off the budget from September. So you can't go half of the year floating on a temporary budget extension, and then you pass a budget. What's going to happen is that by the time they pass a budget and they cut all of the stuff out of the budget, then towards the end of the year, there's going to be no money available. Agencies are not going to get money from federal government because they cut their budget for this fiscal year that they're currently in. So you're going to watch by next Christmas or next holiday season, all of these people start shedding jobs and people just ending up tugging on unemployment. So I would say that they knew what they were doing, but they don't. It's just going to be a fallout, and they're just going to blame it on something else. People don't want to work is what they're going to probably say. Okay, on that happy note.
The SHIT hole comment. I'm sure you talked about that. I probably missed it, right?
Yeah, but we can talk about it.
I wouldn't even know what to say, Rome. I wouldn't even know what to say about him and that foolishness. You know, because we all knew that. It's not like it took anybody by surprise. But the fact that he feels that comfortable in the company of the
I think there was only one Democrat. I think there was only one Democrat there and his staffer, and that's where it came from. I think so. This just tells you that Paul Ryan and all those other guys are fully on board with him, because I'm sure he's done it around them a bunch of times. But it was a Democrat who said that they didn't feel comfortable with what he was saying. It was only one Democrat in there. From what's been reported.
Well, I actually am not. Right, but I'm not necessarily saying that the mixed company means that it's Democrats and Republicans. I mean, like, mixed company, like, it, you know, in public. So we have an entire crew of leaders of the free world that feel okay with him calling at black and brown people from throughout the world, and, of course, in the United States, the countries.
Yeah. And, you know, he canceled his trip to Britain because he felt like here's what was being reported, that he felt like he would not be treated well when he was there. And, you know, in Britain, if you call somebody, if you're that racist in public, they censure you. So you can't even. As a regular citizen, if you say something racist, like an overall racist slur, they can bring charges against you. So they've done that to politicians in Britain before. So he's going to go there when he just made that statement. Of course he's scared to go there because they're going to eat him up. They're going to eat him alive. And you have to remember, Britain has not had slavery. I mean, they gave up slavery 100 years before the United States did. So they're a little bit farther. Not saying that they're not racist, but they just are not as they know that turning back the clock is not an option. Like where here, people live in all white communities and they think, I don't really see any black people at my school. There's only three of them. And so we should just get rid of all of them. All three in my neighborhood, and we'll be better off.
Right.
So racism is coming from someplace that, And again, Lawrence O'Donnell said earlier today, or was it Lawrence O'Donnell? It was someone that was saying, it was Reverend Sharpton that said he grew up in near where he grew up in Queens, And he was like, he's seen diversity. He's seen that there's Haitian people here. He's seen that there's immigrants from all over African nations all his life. But apparently, you know, his father was arrested for attending a Klan rally before Donald Trump was born. And I guess he pretty much got it from his father, his attitude towards everybody else. So we can't nobody can help you on this one.
His father and a bunch of other people's fathers too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and speaking of crazy, Roseanne Barr revealed that her new character will be a Trump supporter because it's realistic, and she says that she wouldn't she would be a better president than Oprah. She said she wanted to be a Trump supporter on her show because she's a Trump supporter in real life where everybody else on the show is not. And then she goes and says she'll be a better president than Oprah. So Roseanne's new show, Bite Me. Because although I did watch her show years ago, but I really don't enjoy watching races on TV. And I don't know why people give Roseanne a pass, but oh well. There they go.
I didn't like Roseanne then.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like her now. And I just decided right now. And when I say I didn't like Roseanne, I mean I didn't like her show then. I didn't I didn't like her comedy, and it really was, it wasn't Archie Bunker kind of show, except that it was making Archie Bunker okay. At least when they did All in the Family, they kind of would, they were letting you know that that character was not okay.
Wasn't okay.
It, you know,
mm-hmm.
Yes, there were a bunch of people, there were a lot, you know, yes, this is America, but we also recognize that this is not okay. Even though we're making jokes about it and it was, insensitive and all that crap, but they, you know, for the most part, you
right.
kind of get got the sense, even, you know.
But this
but
is why people are
Roseanne,
confused, too. Yeah, but this is why people are confused, because she's going to have, I guess, the girl who played one of her daughters on a show who's gay, who's on the show The Talk, she's going to have a son that is not transgender, but he's going to cross-dress. So they are like, oh, let's hit all the buttons of us showing that we are kind of cool or liberal. We're going to have these discussions in public. Well, we know the undercurrent of them is that non-tolerant part about her being supportive of somebody who we know is racist. We have to kind of weed this stuff out. I think America has to do a better job of not pacifying people going, yeah, I know they're a little racist, but they cool people. Or I know they're racist, but they're funny. Like, we need to cut that out. And that's why, again,
yeah, very much.
That's why I went through the whole thing about that whole, you know, women, we need to bond together as women. You were black first before you were a woman. Don't believe what anybody says about that whole gender stuff. What happens is you either have EU melanin in you, and it's a part of what makes, you know, whether it is in the fertilization stage of the egg or the sperm, that EU melanin is present first before your gender is assigned. You know that somebody's black or not. So don't go to that whole nonsense that everybody starts off a woman and then men become men, whatever. Everybody's black first. So work that part out. All right, on that note, not everybody. Everybody black, everybody who is black, you were black before you had a gender assignment, right? White folks have what's called pheomelanin. Black people have EU melanin. That is also present when you are, before you're born. And by the way, biracial children, just in case you're listening, just want to help you out, you have EU melanin. You don't have pheomelanin. Because no matter which parent was black, you have no Neanderthal divinity in DNA because it's filtered out when the egg is fertilized. It doesn't allow pheomelanin in your system. You want to check out Nature Magazine, the 2017 April edition if you want more information on that. You don't have to believe me? Go read. That's all I can really tell you. All right. So there has been a rapid surge in alcohol-related ER visits despite barely changing drinking rates, according to new research from the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. Now, they're saying that women have increased the amount of ER visits compared to men for alcohol-related binge drinking, I guess. That seems kind of strange, but okay.
And you said increase in death is fatalities from binge drinking?
No. They're just saying that they're just recording the number of ER visits. They're saying that has been a rapid surge, and especially amongst women, the ER visits because of alcohol. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism that they said that.
I think I really attribute it to Girls Gone Wild.
You attribute it to what? Girls Gone Wild?
Girls Gone Wild.
You know, see, I would blame it on that, but I almost feel like girls went wild before they start filming it. But once they start seeing it, it seems like it's crazy. I'm sorry. During college, I never got a chance to go to any of those places, so I don't know what was going on for spring break. I actually came home, so that was just my thing. I wasn't privileged for that. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't go to, let's go on vacation with my friends doing college. I had no money for college, let alone me splurging in between classes when I had to buy books when I came back.
Yeah, I had to work.
Exactly, I was going to say. See, so actually having binge time just wasn't a thing. Now, American children are 60% likely to die in their 20s than kids from wealthy countries. That's according to researchers from Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland. They discovered Americans aged 15 to 19 are 82% more likely to die from gun violence than children in other countries. 82%. We don't need no gun laws. Just wanted to say that. Does that mean that's Johns Hopkins if you want to look at it? Yeah. Now, according to a new poll, America's second favorite sport is basketball. Basketball is America's. Now, football is still polling really high, according to this new poll that came out. But basketball knocked baseball down to third as a coach. Baseball is too long. I just don't want to. Just want to put that out there. But baseball is a long game, so. If you want to be in and out, basketball's your game. Football's 3 hours. Okay, basketball's 2 hours. Football is 3 hours. And baseball can be 12 hours. Like, baseball is long.
All day.
It's all
hours.
Day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that's funny.
That's the ninth inning. Goodness sake, you're just, like, crying tears.
And that's, especially if they do it like a double header, you are going to be there all day. Like, that is like, you got 6 hours to kill, go to a baseball double header. All right.
And that's why all those people are going into the emergency room for drinking all the day with beer at the baseball game.
To,
like, oh, my God. Nothing else to do but drink.
Oh, no. Now,
are they all still first? Oh, my gosh.
I know. You're like, you're still playing? They're like, our next batter up is, you're like, here we go. All right. Infant mortality rate. Huh? What'd you say?
Let me have another beer.
You need a couple. Now, according to the CDC, infant mortality rates in the U.S. has held steady from 2014 to 2015, but varied widely from state to state, according to the latest data. Now, Mississippi had the worst death rate in the country with 9.08 babies per 1,000 dying annually. But Massachusetts had the best infant survival rate. So that's the good news. Overall, the national average of infant mortality was 5.89 per 1,000 live rates. It exceeded the average in 21 states. Now, state-to-state difference in newborn survival rates are pronounced by, you guessed it, race. It is divided by race. So infants of non-Hispanic black women had the lowest mortality rate in Massachusetts, which was the highest in any state. For infants non-Hispanic white, the mortality rate was 7.4, right? And Hispanic, it was 7.04. For Hispanic, mortality was 7.28. And for black folks, it was 8.27. Now, Wisconsin had the worst outcomes for black infants at 14.28 deaths per 1,000 live votes. I don't know what they're doing in Wisconsin, but it is double the best one, which was Massachusetts. Well, it's a little less than double. The number is more than three times the death rate of non-Hispanic white babies in the same state. Now, California, New Jersey, New York also all maintained rates below the national average for women and infants of all racial categories. California, New York, and New Jersey are doing good at infant mortality. But that was pretty dumb.
That's great. That's changed significantly over the last few years, right?
Yes.
Because it wasn't always that good. It was really pretty bad, yeah.
Yeah, and they're saying the numbers have been going down steadily, so for infant mortality for everybody across the board. It just says that.
All right.
You know, depending on race. Yeah, like everything else. It's like the unemployment rate, you know, for black folks is always higher than everybody else. But even that was going down, so it makes it seem the numbers are doing better. Now, New Jersey is set to ban drunken droning. So they put out new rules that said that inebriated or drugged pilots behind they want to send them behind bars for 6 months with a $1,000 fine if you have a drone but you're drunk. So U.S. drone sales in 2017 topped $1 billion for the first time ever. But, you know, if you're in New Jersey, where lawmakers just passed this on Thursday, you're going to be outlawed from drinking and droning. Now, I have no use for a drone. I don't think I've ever would have wanted one. I don't know why you would need them. But I guess it's for nosy people. Want to put a camera on something and fly it around. I never had a, you can tell. You can tell I never had like a remote control, like anything. It's like, hey, that'd be really cool. That'd probably bore me anyway. All right, now, a funeral home is running a side business selling human body parts and made so much money selling people's gold teeth that the owner's mother took a whole week, a whole family vacation to Disney. Took all of the family there. So a former employee from the Sunset Mensa funeral home in Colorado said the owner's mother, Shirley Koch, made so much money selling gold teeth from the bodies that she took her family on a trip to Disney.
But isn't
now, I don't
that
know.
Illegal?
I don't know.
I didn't ask you to take my teeth out my mouth. Who told you to start taking stuff off my body when after I'm dead? I paid for those gold teeth. That's my teeth. What are you talking about? You
people
stole my
steal.
And then you didn't give my kids the money? Are you serious right now? And then I paid you for the funeral? Wait a minute.
See, See, we're still squeamish over dead bodies. So when people die, people are not going to pillage bodies. But the people at funeral homes apparently don't have any problem with that.
Now you know what? One note. If my mother don't have her gold teeth, and you know you don't have a problem.
You're like, I just checked. Close it back. Yeah. Close it back. Okay, you good? I just wanted to make sure all the teeth was there. Now. Now, interesting story. Do you know when Albert Einstein died? Do you know Albert Einstein died in 1995? Can you believe
which
that?
Albert Einstein? Which one?
No, Albert. The physicist.
Oh, he was still alive in 1995? Oh, I didn't.
Yes.
Know.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, the stuff that he did in the 30s and 40s. And yeah, you think that Albert Einstein was in the 1800s, right? Albert Einstein was very, very, adamant that he didn't want anybody studying his brain. He wanted to be cremated. He thought that all of his personal works, anything that wasn't public works that he did on the science side, he didn't want anybody in his business. He went to get cremated when he died. And the person who did the autopsy took his brain, cut it up in, I think, 600 and something pieces, and started giving it to different people to study. And so the question is that the coroner, there's no law saying that they can't sell your body parts. So now how would the family know when they asked to be cremated? They just gave them probably some ashes, but they kept people body parts. Robert Kennedy. When JFK was killed, after his autopsy, he still couldn't find his brain. Somebody took it. Common practice that they steal body parts from the coroner's office, and they won't pass any laws saying that it's illegal for them to do. They're like, we're studying this because it whatever. It adds to mankind or whatever. But this is common practice in this country, unfortunately. Sorry, I know everybody didn't need that kind of trivia for today's show. All right, now soaring ocean temperatures in Southern California sparked fears of rare venomous snakes that they will be headed to shore. So rare venomous sea snakes have been discovered on Newport Beach earlier this week due to the warming of Southern California waters. So be careful if you're living on the coast, because now, apparently, you're going to have snakes. You're going to have some snakes that you've never seen before, and don't go play with them. All right. Now, also, the Swiss government has ordered an end to a common cutlery practice of throwing lobster into boiling water while they're still alive. So there's a rule now, Kathleen, I don't know if you eat lobster, but there's a rule now that the lobster must be knocked out before they're killed. So you're going to have to either electrocute them or, I don't know, they said they'll now have to be stunned before they're put to death. So the Swiss government has an order. Only electric shock or a mechanical destruction of a lobster's brain will be acceptable methods to kill those animals before the rule takes effect. That would make me stop eating lobster, and I don't eat it, but that just sounds too disgusting.
I'm sorry, but you know how sometimes you say that there's some points in a conversation where you stop listening?
You stopped a while ago, didn't you? All right, fine.
You just let me know when you're done with this section, and Kathleen will return to the building.
Okay, cool. All right, now, middle school.
I don't eat lobster, though, just for the record. I don't eat lobster
or shrimp. I don't eat lobster.
Or scallops or anything else like that.
Okay. You want to know a sad story? Is I actually order steak and shrimp and pick all the shrimp out and throw them out. I mean, not steak and shrimp, but shrimp fried rice. and I'll just eat the fried rice. I don't know why, but I just won't eat the shrimp. Anywho,
yeah,
that's enough of my quirks for today.
It used to be one of my favorite dishes, but I stopped eating shrimp scavengers. I stopped eating, it's been several years. I can't tell you the last time I ate a lobster.
Oh,
and that's
probably
my favorite dish. Yeah, it was.
Really?
It really was.
Well, they're pretty toxic.
They're
pretty toxic to your body. I hate to be the bearer of bad news for people who are still eating that stuff. But that's we don't eat it for a good reason. Anything that does not have gills, and it doesn't breathe. So any shellfish is toxic.
Wow.
I'm just delivering bad news today, Kathleen. Okay. All right, on that note, before I give any more bad news, actually, I will do the story before we go. You know, after a middle school boy in Wisconsin grew breasts because of the medication he took for Tourette's syndrome, Janssen, Janssen Pharmaceuticals, was hit with a $535,106 jury verdict. But the Pennsylvania Superior Court has now cleared the way for punitive damages, because that ain't enough money. Like, the kid is in middle school. You gave him medication, grew breast, and you only gave him $500,000. I think you're going to have to give him more money. So punitive damages is now on the table. Yeah, I'm just going to say the teasing would have me going for high lotto kind of punitive damage. I'm going to be like, what's the lotto today? $400 million? That's what you're getting sued for. I want lotto winnings. I just want to put that out there. Hey, I'm just saying. That is my easy way out of it. All right. On that note, are there any stories that we're missing that you want to talk about?
Well, I don't know if you talked about how amazing Viola Davis was at the Golden Globe Award. I thought she was she was probably the most fashionable, incredibly adorned woman at the Golden Globes, Viola Davis. She's rocking it. I'm really, really so excited every time I get to see her. I also was excited about Black Panther. I'm sure you talked about that.
No, I missed that. Black Panther, I forgot.
You didn't
the movie's coming out. Is it Friday?
Oh, wow.
It's
already sold out. You can't even get tickets to see it.
Right, but it doesn't start
until
tomorrow, right?
Well, I thought you could get... No, I thought it started last night or tonight.
Right. It started on Thursdays.
Yeah. Within 15 minutes of the tickets going on sale, it was sold out all across the country. So I can't wait to go see it. I'm very excited about that.
I'm wondering how they're going to get snubbed, but that's just me. Because, you know,
Get
snubbed, you know, from the award stuff.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
You know, Girls Trip made over $100 million. Get Out made over $250 million. And now you know Black Panther's going to do well. So let's see if they condense the number of theaters or something. Say it again.
I think Black Panther already passed it. And it didn't even get out. It wasn't even out long enough yet.
Oh, no. I know. I'm interested in seeing what their weekend box office numbers are going to be. But I'm sure it's going to be something high.
Yes, very high.
Yep.
Very high. So, yeah, let's just talk about Black Panther. And then what was the other movie? Oh, my gosh. Oh, Mary J. Blige. Did you talk about her movie that's coming out and how she's been nominated already and the movie's not even out yet?
No. I didn't know.
Yeah.
What is it, Mudbone? Is that the name of it? What's the name of the movie?
You know, I don't even remember the name of it. Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But
I know but she was. I know she was nominated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which is big because, you know, Mary's been acting for a little bit. She was in Tyler Perry's movie with Taraji P. Henson. Oh, my God. That's the other thing that I wanted to talk about. Proud Mary. Oh, my God. Talk about life on the big city. Make sure, folks, please go see Black Panther. Go see Proud Mary. Proud Mary comes out, I believe, next week. And Taraji P. Henson is starring in it, and she talked about it. She's been making the rounds on talk shows and so forth, and she talked about the fact that directed the movie, and she's also playing the lead role, and she was saying that we don't get to see Black women in the role of in an action movie playing the lead. Very, very rare. It's very, not often. And she said probably, and she was right, I think, since the 70s, you know, since Pam Grier was called.
I was going to say.
And all of that, we have not. Yeah, we haven't seen that. So now we get to see it. And her wardrobe is incredible. She talks about how she crashed a Ferrari, too, on the set. But she also directed the movie. So please be sure to support her in that. And the young brother who's in it, she said, is an amazing actor that we need to all look out for over the years. So those are the things that I, those are just a few of the things that I wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I, you know, usually have this policy about invoking Pam Grier. So, you know, I usually take offense to that. But I didn't, you know, Taraji, I will give her a pass on, you know, or on even.
I know she didn't, but
I'm saying she invoked that in the Foxy Brown kind of trailers that they put out. So I know, I'm just saying, we all caught it, you know. She's a bad mother.
It's about time. Because she was watching, man. Pam Grier, coffee? Are you kidding me? He dropped it. We should have had a million of them since then. Come on now. We can't all go out just saying, okay, with Pam Grier back in the 70s.
Hey. Pam Grier is timeless, so I don't want to really, go there.
Is
but
timeless.
If you.
He is timeless.
Yeah, you're right, though. You're right. There needs to be somebody who. Yeah, every generation should have their own Pam Grier. I feel sorry for the generations that don't have a Pam Grier in their life. But, you know, we got one, so sorry to be selfish. I'm just saying. All right, you're right, Taraji. Knock it out. Yeah, all right. Who knows what that is?
I know you talked about the hoodie, too. I'm just saying.
Talked about the hoodie?
Yeah. The H&M hoodie?
Hey, I can't talk about that by myself because, you know, technically that would make me crazy. Huh? I don't know if that's a black-on-black crime because... I don't know if that's a black-on-black crime because his mother was saying that she didn't see a problem with it.
And everybody
I don't like
needs
the
to
fact
get
that
over it.
Yeah, I don't think people should be going off on her. And here's why. It is not her job to be the standard bearer about what affects all black people. She made it just needs the money. So, technically, she doesn't get to make that decision. See, that is what I'm talking about people using individual black people to tell all black people what is good for them and what's not. You should be outraged. Yeah. H&M.
But here's the deal.
Couldn't think of any. Huh?
Here's the deal. He didn't need to say anything.
She shouldn't
have.
Why did
she have to say anything?
Because they probably ran out to go sit and see if she can contradict anything.
Yeah,
and
no
I think,
comment is what that's called.
Yeah, I think the story is true. I don't think this is fake news, but I think Puffy actually offered that kid a deal with Sean John. But after his mother said that, I would take it back. If I was, no, I'm just joking. Like, I was about to help you out. But now, mama will act like that. I ain't get you nothing. That's just me.
Then you just have to keep your mouth shut and take the next contract. You know what I mean? Regardless of what H&M said to you, you just say, listen, my son deserves another opportunity to be an aunt in an ad. Look at all this controversy. I have no quarrel with you. Just sign him for something else.
Right. He's just a model. Leave that little kid out of it. We're saying that that's a corporate responsibility.
Serious.
That they right. He shouldn't have said nothing.
Period.
Too bad Puff was about to throw. He was offering her, offering the kid a $1 million contract to work for Sean John. That woman would have hit the lottery.
Well, I hope,
and now she
I
just
hope
blew.
They don't pull it. Yeah. I hope they don't pull it for that. Foolishness. You know
what I
mean?
You
hope
they don't do what?
She really should have kept her mouth shut. She should not have said anything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. On that note, she should. I don't think it's. See, here's the thing. I don't think it's her fight. So every time black folks have an issue, again, we go find the most uninformed black person to try to contradict, saying to white folks, see, it's okay. That black person said it was cool. It ain't their job to know how it's going to psychologically affect all black people just because the black person who did something doesn't have, is not aware of what its effect is on everybody else. I think they should not have to throw mics in people's face. And that's why we actually do need, you know, our only not the NAACP, that's the integrationist organization. I'm saying we need our own version of an anti-defamation league and things like that to understand psychologically how things affect black folks. And they need to release statements on this is not good for America's psyche. Y'all don't respect black people enough for us to actually put our guard down against you because you're not doing anything in good faith because you let some madman become president. But that's a whole nother story for another program. All right, on that note,
indeed.
I guess I'm going to let you. Yes. All right, so I guess we're going to have to fire up Black on Black Crime for that one. But we'll have to tune in again next week, see how that's going to go. But
you keep stretching so strong, I'm ready.
You ready? See, I'm always kind of waiting for everybody else to be ready. So when you're ready, we're going.
I'm ready.
You're the one that needs
and
to be ready.
And you know what else?
Okay.
Better fire it up before somebody else does.
Nah, I don't think they have the flavor, so they could try to fire it up. It won't be the same. All right. So we can play our game of black or white. We'll rock that. All right. On that note, we will get back again next week. Hey, Kathleen, I will holla. And,
hey.
Yep, and I will let you know when Black on Black Crime, when we can put that show back on air. We're going to make it happen.
Have a good
All right, you
night.
Good? All right, you
yeah,
too.
Good.
See
you
next. All right, see you next week. All right.